true. I don't look the same. It was a long time ago. It was 1986, actually. So I was in Los Angeles, and I did have this person in show business, sort of. But I worked around a lot of diversity and heard a lot of stories in show business and watched a lot of people transform themselves, so to speak, in front of the camera on stage. And in my training as a psychologist out there, I was exposed to a lot of diversity in my internships. I worked with a lot of transgender clients, and I found them fascinating. I thought, this is kind of like show business. And they're changing their identities, and they're coming out. And so I specialized. I went off and did a fellowship at the University of Minnesota, and I worked with and trained with some really well-known gender specialists. And when I finished, I got connected to the Hopkins Clinic, and this is where some of the first sex changes were done in this country. Was there Johns Hopkins? So anyway, I was able to get introduced and had the fortunate opportunity to be a part of the clinic and do some teaching and see patients. So that's what I do. And it's 10 years ago this week that I came here. So in my training, it was, you know, learning about what is transgender issues, where does it maybe come from, what's the process for a person to move over to the other gender, what's the medical, surgical, what's the psychological process. So I had to study all that. And, you know, the philosophy is basically you don't want to do any harm. You also want to take a neutral stance. You don't want to say you should be this or that. And you want to explore all the options with them and make sure they're making healthy choices. So here I am in the clinic, and this couple comes in, early 30s, very attractive. They had drove up from South Carolina, and they were married about, I think, 7 or 8 years, and had two small kids, and he wants to be a woman, the husband. So we hear their story, their history, listening for any complicating factors, psychopathologies that might be contributing, nothing. And pretty straightforward, and I've always felt this way, but I've denied it. I've never told anybody before, except my wife and my parents. My parents, when I was younger, took me to a psychiatrist to try to get rid of this. And so I went underground, and I didn't tell anybody. And I over-masculinized and got really involved in sports and kind of swung the other direction. Part of that therapy of not being transgendered was to get married and have kids, unfortunately. So he was adamant, though, that this was what he wanted to do, to become and live his life as a woman. So, and I've heard similar stories, but not somebody who had a wife and kids and had lived a life the way he had. So after the case is presented, we discuss it as attendings and residents and other faculty. And everyone was concerned. They were like, this doesn't make a lot of sense. This person is really going to have a lot of losses. He's going to lose his family, possibly. This would be a big hardship, you know. What kind of position should we take with this person? And I said, well, let's just take a neutral position and see. And I said, well, why don't you work with the patient? It's like, oh boy. And a number of my colleagues were really sort of concerned that there was other things going on here. Maybe this was a fetish. It really wasn't a gender condition. And, you know, why now after he's done all this stuff with his life? So I said, okay, I'll start seeing him. So I met with the two of them together and heard more of his story, and it was really sad because he had repressed this for a long time. But the sad thing was his wife was just sitting there sobbing. She said, I'm not going to be able to stay married to you if you become a woman. And he said, I figured that. And so they had to deal with the transition of their relationship and what's going to happen with the kids. And the whole time I kept thinking, is this really the right choice for this person? I mean, to face these kind of losses and take this risk. And then you have to remember, this guy totally looked very traditionally masculine. There was something about him that seemed feminine. He's dressed in male clothing, but yet he's inside, he feels like he's a woman. So I then continued to see him individually, and wife would come periodically, and they did eventually divorce. So the hardest thing for me is after we had worked together for about 3 or 4 months, he started cross-dressing. Would go into public and in his community, and I would just wait the next week to hear what happened. He walked down the street, you know, dressed as a woman, and nothing bad happened, but I was curious how he was feeling about it. He felt much better. He was relieved. He said, I think this is really the right thing for me. me. And that's kind of the real life test. We look for that here. If that fits for them, is he getting better? That must mean he's on the right track. So his depression started getting better. He started networking online, meeting other people, learning resources. And then he says, after about 6 months with him, I went on hormones. And this anxiety is kind of came over me. I was like, wow, this is like serious now. He really wants to do this. Because we had explored maybe just not doing medical procedures. Maybe you could just kind of live in between, bounce between genders. And it's like, no, I have to go all the way. So he got a referral and started hormones. Nothing really changes too much for an early 30s man, but he felt better inside, and depression was getting better. So then he took us some time off, and he told me what he was going to do next, but what he did is went to California and had facial feminization. And his entire face peeled back, all the bones restructured to be feminized, feminine-looking. And he comes back to my office after this procedure and walks in, and I didn't recognize him. And right then, I felt my heart just sort of sink. I was like, this is irreversible now. This person is really going for it. Again, it feels much better. I'm so happy I did this. I couldn't even relate because it looks, she now looked so different. And so talk more about the transition. Things are feeling better. They're going better. And it was about at that point that she said, thank you for your help and all the advice and exploration, the referrals, I think I'm good, I'm going to kind of go off and live my life. And so when you work with these people, many times they go off and you don't see them again. And I wonder what happened to the wife, the kids. So must have been about a year later, I saw Oprah was going to have, you know, transgender people on, and so I set my VCR. That's when I used a VCR. Taped it. And I came back and watched it late one night, and sure enough, at the end of the show, they had a transgender person on, because the show was about kids that were gender variant. And there was Elizabeth about to be presented. And what they had done was a whole montage of her life, of all these pictures of how masculine she used to look, and kids, and the wife, and everything. And then the camera pans down after they do this montage, and there's this perfectly coiffed woman with perfect hair, perfect makeup, talked with this voice that I never even recognized. She went off and like did voice work. Totally poised. You could hardly even tell that it ever used to be a man. And just had this beam of little eyes that just looked so happy. And did the, you know, the Oprah interview, which are kind of silly. But it was at that moment that I was able to really relax and say, I guess this was okay. Because this journey for this person made sense. And they seemed to be happy. And the wife was even in the audience. And the wife stood up. And it was funny because she looked like her wife after the transition. It was very odd. Oprah said, you kind of look alike. And the wife had a little tear. And, you know, and she was remarried. And she didn't know. And Elizabeth said that when I take the kids out, they still call me dad. People look at me kind of funny. But that's okay, and my kids are okay with it. And hopefully they all live happily ever after. And I still wonder if Elizabeth is happy out there with her new life, and hopefully doesn't regret her journey. And it was kind of an honor to be a part of that transition. So that's my story.